What is up, everybody? This is DWC, episode 9, week 9 of the NFL. About to be halfway through the NFL. We got a bunch of headlines for you guys, some injuries to talk about, and we're getting it back into our tier list. Got some updated picks for y'all, and we cannot wait to share those with y'all. Make sure that you guys listen to us on YouTube and on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts for the audio listeners. This will be posted today as you're listening on Wednesday, and everything else will be posted a little bit later once everything processes and whatnot. You guys can make sure to follow us on Twitter at DWC2022 and on Instagram at Defense Wins Championships Podcast. The YouTube is Defense Wins Championships Podcast, and the Apple and Spotify is Defense Wins Championships. So let's go ahead and get into our first headline, something that everybody's been talking about, just dropped yesterday. Richardson has been benched for Joe Flacco. I listened to a whole bunch of Jersey Boys on their Shout Out Pick Aside podcast, and I've heard Flacco so much that that's all I say now is Flacco. So Flacco. Reed, you see his flag? He's the Florida boy. Florida Gators, this is his guy. How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm not a Colts fan, so like I'm not too butthurt about it. Like I could care less, really. The problem is, I think this is coming from the top, to be completely honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think, what's his name? Jim Irsay? Is that?
Yeah.
I think he's the owner. I think he's making the decision because they are like a game out from the wild card spot in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Clearly I think he'd rather have success like now than wait a few years to be better with Anthony Richardson. Me personally, I think it's stupid because when you agreed to Steichen and the GM drafting Anthony Richardson at number 4, everyone, and even people that don't even really know football, could understand that this guy was a project, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's only played 7 games in the NFL, started 7 games. He's only started 22 total games his whole career, like at QB. I don't know what Jim Irsay expected. I know it's rough to watch, but it's the same exact thing that the Bills did with Josh Allen. Josh Allen was horrendous when he started. What happens if they moved off him? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Where would the Bills be if they didn't give Josh Allen a full season, 2 seasons even, to get his footing in the NFL? I just think it's a dumb mistake, poor ownership, decision making. Because realistically, whatever they want to think with Flacco, they're not going to be. Even if they make the playoffs, they're not going to win in the playoffs. So, I just think it's dumb. I think you let Anthony Richardson get his reps. That's what he needs. He doesn't need to sit behind this QB. He needs to play. I don't know. Do you think, like, the only thing that makes sense is they think they're a wild, like they're a playoff team and they can win now. That's it.
I think it's with how bad this division has been in the AFC South, especially with the things that are happening to the Texans right now, how they're losing everybody. Maybe Irsay thinks that – I mean, Flacco's not bad. I mean, I can't say shit. He beat my team. So maybe he thinks he can do something. But like you said, even if you make the playoffs, like if you win this division, boy, it is sweet. If I would pray to be team number 5 just so I can play you.
Yeah.
Like it makes no sense. You knew – like you said, you knew coming in everybody – when Anthony Richardson was coming into the draft, everybody said, raw. That's it. How raw this dude is. He can make plays. Even in this season, some of the best throws from a quarterback this season have come from Anthony Richardson. And some of the worst throws of a quarterback this season have come from Anthony Richardson. There's been throws where I'm like, what the fuck are you looking at? And other throws, like, I mean, every deep ball to Alec Pierce is fucking phenomenal if he's not getting hit. And I think after which I don't know why this brother did not lie. I think after the, when he said, oh, he just went out to play because he tired. And he was like, all right, bro, we're going to put in Flacco then.
I think, I will say that play he made specifically when he came out after that play was ridiculous. If you watch it, he literally throws a 300-pound defensive lineman off him and then sprints like another 20 yards and gets tackled. But like, I don't know if that's the reason. I really do think, like you said, I didn't even think about that. The division's kind of weak. The Texans aren't as good as people think they are. I think Ursay legitimately believes that they can win the division, get home field advantage, and maybe make some noise in the playoffs. From what I've seen with that defense, zero shot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe it at all. I think you ride out Anthony Richardson, and just let him get reps. That's what he needs. He needs reps. I feel like, because I was on, at one point this season, I was on the side of like, maybe you should just sit Richardson, let him learn behind Flacco. But then you really think about it, and it's like, he hasn't played enough. He's not like a Jordan Love situation where he played 3 years in college and was the starter the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't really play at all in college. He sat behind a guy who wasn't better than him.
Yeah.
And I know, because Dan Mullen should have played him his freshman year. It was bad. But, and then when he did play, he got hurt. Dan Mullen was like spotty with it. And then even with Napier, I don't even think he played the 4 year. I think he missed a few games because of injuries. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. It's just, they're just pulling the trigger a little too quick. I think, what are they, 4-4 right now? That's still better than half the AFC, because half the AFC is 3-4, 2-6. You know what I mean? So to me, it's a little early. Like, if to me, you keep them in a few more games. If you really believe you can win it or go to the playoffs, you still have room right now. Like,
yeah.
Like, just fucking ride them out like two more games. If he loses those two games, then throw in Flacco. Okay. Fuck it. If you really think there's still a shot, but like, it's, we're just now hitting the halfway point on the year. I don't think it was the right decision to move off him yet. I mean,
it's tough. If you, I mean, this is a top five pick. So I get like this is supposed to be your franchise quarterback. So if you think this is the right decision, by all means. But I think everybody is in a consensus. Yes, I mean, Anthony Richardson completion percentage wise has been horrendous. He's playing terrible. But you need to give this man more games. Like I say, and like I say all the time, this team is going to be a team when we die. You know, there's, you got to think of the longevity here of, and I get it, like, he gets hurt more than you would like, especially for someone that is as the stature of Anthony Richardson. But I think this dude needs more reps, and you can't simulate reps in practice development and whatnot. It has to be game shit, bro.
Yeah.
And he's never going to be able to get the full experience sitting behind, no disrespect, sitting behind Joe Flacco. I mean, like I say, no disrespect, but what am I learning watching him?
Yeah, I really do think it's a, like, it's bad in multiple ways. Like, because, one, Anthony Richardson, what does it do for his confidence if Flacco goes out there and plays the rest of the year? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we should give a fuck about people's confidence, but when it's QB, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, confidence is huge in that position. If you give up on him already 7 games in 2 years.
Yeah.
That seems a little ridiculous. Same thing with like Bryce Young. We saw it earlier.
I was just about to say, we see with Bryce Young, the back and forth is more detrimental than you think it is to a QB's mental.
Like, what happens if they play Flacco? They lose the next 3 games, even with Flacco at QB. And then what do you do? Oh, we're going to go back to our number 4 pick. And now his confidence is killed. And he's like, I should have been playing the whole time anyway. You know what I mean? Now you just missed 3 weeks of game reps that he could have been getting.
He's three weeks rusty now.
Yeah. And like the Panthers with Bryce Young, they should have just played him the full time, because no matter how bad the team is, he needs to play. He needs to get used to game speed. He needs to get those reps. It is what it is. It's so bad. And it's not like the Colts are at the level of the Panthers where the team is just that bad. You know what I mean? Like Anthony Richardson, a lot of it is on him, but he's also like, he's not going to lose confidence in the team around him, if that makes sense. Because they're still decent. Like, he has good skill positions around him. The receivers are decent. The O-line's decent. A good running back. Like, he's not going to be Bryce where it's like, holy fuck, these guys can't get open. They're not helping me at all. I can see why there you sit somebody. But, like, for the Colts, just fucking ride it out, man.
Yeah.
Like, take a book from the Bills, who waited patiently. It's not like they were a great fucking franchise until Josh Allen got there, right?
Yeah.
They were bad years and years and years. But the owner was like, fuck it. This guy has all the tools to be good. Let's wait 2 years, 2 to 3 years to see if he can turn it around. And guess what happened? Now he's arguably the second best QB in football. Like, you need to have patience in the NFL. And I know teams like the Jets, the Browns, the Panthers. The Colts are one of those that it's like, how do you not? Like, you've had QB success for 25 years between Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. I guess that's probably why they're just greedy at this point.
Like, you would think a team would have learned from their Andrew Luck shit and been like more pro QB. Because, like, Anthony Richardson has the talent, but you knew, like you say, you knew when you drafted him, this man had accuracy concerns. That can be taught.
Yeah.
That his arm, his running ability, that can't be taught.
Mm-hmm.
But the accuracy can be taught. And I think, at least both of us think, Steichen's a great coach.
Yeah.
I mean, what he did with Jalen Hurts was phenomenal. So I think you have the right coach. You just need to get out of your own way and let him coach and let Anthony Richardson play ball. And if you lose games, you lose games. Like I said, this division is bad. You can afford to lose some of these games and still do what you want to do. And even when I don't know where the bravado came from. When you came into this season, I wasn't like, oh shit, watch out for the Colts. Yeah. I was like, this is going to be a middle of the pack team until they get some help. You have more issues than quarterback. Your defense is fucking horrendous, bro. Regardless if you get Flacco in there. If you get Flacco in there, bro, I swear to you, it's not going to go as you think it is. Take it from the Browns fan. It's not going to go as you think it is. This brother's going to throw pick sixes. Mm. And you have a bad defense as it is. And he throws a pick, and you give the other team good field position. It's wraps. You're going to lose anyway. So if you sit Anthony Richardson, you need to sit him the rest. He cannot come back in. If you want to do this, he cannot come back in. And then there was reports saying it was a leadership issue. I don't know what he does off the field, in practice and stuff. But when I watch him in the game, that looks like a fucking leader to me. So
he never had any issues in Florida. So
I don't know what they're talking about. They need to get over themselves. At this point, I think you have a lot of other things to worry about than Anthony Richardson. You need to develop this dude. If he's young as fuck. He's younger than QBs that are going to come in.
Yeah.
So you need to fix this before it's too late. Because, like, I feel like the window for these QBs is closing and closing. Unless you just have it, it's closing on if they're going to be shot or not for your team. They could go somewhere else and be elite. I mean, we've seen it with Sam Darnold. We've seen it, even older QBs. I mean, Russell Wilson is fucking thriving. And thank God for, like, Justin Fields could be like, yo, fuck this. Anthony Richardson could be like, fuck this. Fuck my team, bro. They don't believe in me, blah, blah, blah. And Justin Fields is sitting, it's different than, like, if you're sitting behind Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson will sit with you and talk to you. It's just up to you if you want to listen. He'll tell you what he sees and whatnot. He's a great leader in that. But I don't know what you're getting from Joe Flacco. I mean, this brother just, came off the couch.
Well, remember, Flacco, like, I'm not saying Flacco hasn't changed at all, but Flacco was against Lamar on the Ravens. That's why they got rid of Flacco, because he didn't want to teach Lamar anything. He didn't want his job taken. He basically said, fuck Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And that's why they got rid of him or didn't re-sign him. I'm not saying he hasn't changed since then. Obviously, he's older. He knows he's not going to be a franchise QB anymore. But not a good track record there, I would say. No. It's just dumb to me. I think 4-4, the rest of the AFC is kind of ass anyway right now. So I feel like you have room to keep AR in there and continue from there. Like, if you really, like, say AR goes fucking 2-4 the next few weeks, you're still in the playoff race.
Yeah.
Put Flacco in and go from there. Like, I don't, like, the worst case scenario is Flacco comes in and you lose 3 straight games. You go 1-4. He's not doing what everyone thought he was going to do. And then you're going to throw AR back in there with very little room to work to make the playoffs. And then all hell's going to rain down. Like, oh, yeah, that was a bad decision by Steichen to put in Flacco. Ultimately, it was Jim Mersey. The fans will be going rabid because, like, what is this decision making? You fucked up both ways. Now where do we go from here?
Yeah, I mean, it feels up to me, Flacco would never be playing unless Anthony Richardson got, like, seriously injured. I've thought that was the contingency because you saw him get injured and he missed a whole bunch of games. That, like, oh, we're just signing this man if Anthony Richardson gets injured. I didn't think we'd be benching Anthony Richardson over character issues. Just play this man. You drafted him at 4. Unless you're telling me you're a horrible organization, then, hey, I'm with you. I believe you are, too. I'm with you. Unless you're telling me we're bad, I get it. Then trade him to someone who will actually use him.
I saw Flores talking about Richardson, and he seems pretty fucking happy that Flacco's playing this week.
I would be, too. It's free fucking – it's a free lick. They're playing the Vikings, right? Hey, start Vikings defense. I'm telling you, bro. You will be good.
So, yeah, it's just poor decision making, man. Like, the slim chance, like, what happens even if Flacco does well and they make the playoffs? Like, they're not winning the Super Bowl. They're not going anywhere from here.
Brother, Flacco, they're not winning a game.
And Flacco, yeah, and Flacco's old. So, like, if he is this really good playoff QB this year, what is he next year? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that long. He's fucking 40. This doesn't do anything for you in the future.
Yeah.
This is what we talked about. We just need to have an owner segment. Patience. Patience is key. I think the pressure from the fan base, the worst case scenario for Anthony Richardson was week 2 when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And Flacco came in and looked good, like threw for 300 yards or whatever. Because when that happens, the fans are like, why the fuck are we even playing Anthony Richardson then? Yeah. You know what I mean? When our offense can look like this. This is how the whole Browns situation has been my whole life. So, or at least last year for sure. They're like, oh, Flacco came in and threw for 300 yards. Why can't Deshaun do that? And then now you're fucked. We got rid of Flacco and then everyone was fucking pissed. You know what I mean? So, worst case for AR, he got hurt and Flacco came in. He never gets hurt. We're not talking about Flacco right now, probably.
Speaking of bad organizations, we're going to go ahead and get into Deontay Johnson got traded to the Ravens for a 5th-round pick, and they got back a they traded a 6th and Deontay and got back a 5th.
How the fuck?
What are we doing?
What are the Panthers? The Panthers and their trades, like, you might as well chalk it up as the worst trading team in the NFL. If you want to go get a lick from a team and just absolutely get the better value, go call the GM for the Panthers. Because what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, thanks for Dante Jackson, one of my better corners now. You give up a player, get Deion. It was just, you know, the Steelers was just a player trade. And then you give up Deontay. And so I don't know if he was just like, yo, trade me. See, I need these owners. Well, as long, you know, I'm with the owners in patience, but I need these owners to be like, no. Yeah. I'm not trading you. No.
I just
traded for you.
And they just signed him to an extension, didn't they? They just paid for
yeah.
like this year. Yeah. The whole reason he left the Steelers is because you weren't going to pay him.
Yeah.
The Panthers paid him. Now, I didn't look into it, but I'm assuming the Panthers are picking up most of his contract. Unless, like, I have no faith the Panthers were like, oh, you have to pay for most of his contract if we just do a pick swap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to look into that. But, like, what the fuck? Because Johnson can be good for a young team.
Yeah.
Like, if you watched him play with Andy Dalton this year, you can tell, like, he can be viable. He's a good receiver in the NFL. Yeah. And I don't get why. Now what are they going to do? Go to Thielen, who's hurt and is 40 years old. Xavier Leggett, who's spotty. Like, you just made Bryce Young's life way worse than it already was. I mean, good luck to him. He's probably never going to become a good QB in this league because of what just happened. Because he's on the Panthers. Unless he gets traded to, like, the Rams, I would like to see it. But I just don't get what they're doing. Like, they're not getting valuable trade capital or draft capital back. They did the same thing with fucking Burns, right?
Yeah.
And they got no value from that. I just don't get it. Like, easily the worst run organization in the NFL, and that's fucking saying something.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
No. And, I mean, the competition is really good. And they're just running away with it.
Yeah.
As the worst organization. I mean, what are we doing? You just traded for this man and then you traded him away. Like I said, I don't know if he was just like, yo, I hate it here. Just get me out of here. But like I said, I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
No. At some point, and he'd be like, oh, then I won't play. All right. Then we'll fine you. Give us the money back. It's that easy. You got to like... You got to stand up for yourself, bro. You cannot let yourself get bullied by Deontay fucking Johnson. It makes no sense. And like you said, this is like possession wide receivers are really good for young quarterbacks in their growth. Somebody that's always going to be open, that's going to be there for that 6 to 8 yard out route that Deontay Johnson is elite at. And now you just gave him to the Ravens for a fucking ham sandwich. And he's going to be wide receiver 3 for the Ravens and fucking E. What the hell? Why would you do that to my team? So
no, that's what I'm more pissed about.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. Why would you trade him back over here, bro? Fuck out of here. I would have like, I know like we were petty and we sent Deontay to the ether, but like send him to another ether, bro. If he didn't want to play for you, why would you give him to a good team? It makes no sense for a 6-round pick. No disrespect to 6-round picks out there, but brother, this dude isn't going to be a fucking starter whoever they draft.
Yeah,
and they're gonna do this. They're gonna repeat the fucking cycle. They're gonna draft the fucking quarterback, and they're just gonna repeat this dumbass cycle. And it's just gonna be annoying to see because, like, I would be like, bro, like, obviously, I won't know because I'm not in that position. But I feel like I can at least do a better job than what they're doing. It's been horrendous. I feel bad for Panthers fans. This is ass.
Yeah, I don't really know where they... Oh, man. I feel like they're really in the same position as when the Browns were, like, just in eternal hell. Before Stefanski and Barry got there, like, just no hope. There's no hope at all. Really, until Baker got there. When Baker played in that Jets game, we were like, oh, shit, we might have a... might have something here. But other than that, like, there was no way out. No light at the end of the tunnel. Nothing. That's kind of how the Panthers are right now. And I feel for him because a lot of it's on the owner. I think he has too much say in what's happening. Mm-hmm. And now it makes sense why Ben Johnson was like, fuck that job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Dave Canales is getting probably fired in 2 years.
Yeah, it's difficult to see if he's a good coach or not because like now I'm having questions, but at the same time, like what the fuck is he working with? The only like bright spot in this place is their line isn't terrible. I mean, Chuba Hubbard has been eating. Bryce at least gets, you know, some time to throw the ball. It's just nobody's fucking open. And when he throws the ball, like when he actually has time and throws the ball, it's fucking beautiful. And I'm not just glazing because I'm a Bama fan, but I am glazing. But when I watch, like, that's what y'all, that's if you know how much we at DWC love our fans. I tune into Panthers games so I can talk about it on air. That's how much I love the fans. He throws a great fucking ball. Nobody's open. And I don't, and then we get rid of the dude who has, you know, some of the best separation. So they're going to draft Cam Ward probably. It's going to be a repeat because Cam Ward, I like Cam Ward, but what is he going to do with this team?
They're just so bad.
If you give up, if you trade Deontay Johnson, how will I know you will have a great draft? I don't know what you're doing.
It's like
I'm telling you, bro. Hey, please, David Tepp, please. I know you're cheap. I will work for you for $2 million as a GM. You get the GM duo. Me and Reed, $2 million each. You know, I got to be a little bit greedy. Each. We will, I promise you, we'll do a better job than what your GM is doing now. I promise. If you let me work 40 hours a week, I promise you, I will do way better than what this motherfucker is doing.
I'll literally work for $100,000 as the GM.
$100,000 and you give and you buy me a house.
Yeah, fair.
You know, buy me a house. I get to eat free at the cafeteria. I get to work out. I'm straight. Please, bro. I have to save these Panther fans, man. If there's any Panthers fans that listen to the podcast, man, this is, you know, I laugh at Browns fans because they're in hell. I laugh at Jets fans now because you have Aaron Rodgers, but I have nothing but sympathy for y'all, bro. This is ass.
Yeah, it's really bad. I really don't know where you go from here, though, because, like, when – like, I think Haslam, the Browns owner, is bad, and I think the Jets owner is bad, but they're at least willing to spend money, like, in certain areas to make the team better. Like, I'm not sure what David Tepper does besides fuck his team up. You know what I mean? And throw drinks on fans. Like, I really don't know where you go. When you have an owner that's this terrible, it's kind of just you're fucked in every facet. You're never going to get better.
There are about a couple more losing seasons to taking this man to the guillotine. I'm not going to lie. It has to go top to bottom, bro. Like, I don't – like, the GM and the owner need to get – like, obviously can't fire owner, but, like, please, bro. We need a scandal, man. We need this man gone. We need this man gone. You see what happens when fucking Dan Snyder leaves? Now everybody talks about the Commanders. We need this owner gone. We need this owner gone. We need this GM gone. I don't know about the coach yet. I'm kind of like, I got to see. But if you guys say they draft Cam Ward, so do they trade Bryce? What do they do with Bryce? They just keep him on payroll?
You trade him.
For a ham sandwich?
Yeah. We've seen what their trades look like. I mean, someone's going to get Bryce Young for a washing machine.
Facts. They're going to be on the phone and be like, yo, we'll give y'all Derek Brown for a third-round pick. All right, bet. Bro, we just fleeced them. Yeah, we got a third-round pick. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. All right, fuck the Panthers, man. No, not fuck the Panthers.
Fuck David Tepper.
Cam Robinson got traded to the Vikings, which we'll talk about more in depth with the Christian Darrisaw thing. But he got traded to the Vikings for a conditional six in the Jets with a conditional six in the Jets, a fifth round pick. Like I said, I'm a Bama guy. Cam Robinson has kind of fell off, so I don't really know how big, you know, how much of a upgrade this is. I don't know who their LT2 is, right? But I mean, they got to be fucking two packs of ass if you're trading for Cam Robinson.
Yeah, the thing about finding a starting caliber left tackle in the NFL midway through the season is impossible. So I think this is a pretty good trade on their part because he does have experience there and he has started the whole year. He started a few years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
At left tackle. So this is about as good as you can get in terms of replacing a starting left tackle. He's not even close to Darrisaw level, but Darrisaw is like, he's going to be an all-pro for 12 years. You know what I mean? So, but like I said, it's left tackles don't fall off fucking trees and you can just go pick one up randomly. Like, even the guys that are out of the league, I remember when the Browns had issues last year and people were like, why don't we just go get this guy or this guy? I'm like, it just doesn't happen that way. Like, a lot of the guys that aren't on teams right now, there was a big list of free agents that were left tackles when our whole line was hurt. And I was just like, there's a reason those guys aren't on a team right now. Because you need to be so good to even start in this league. It's the same thing with Wills. Wills has effort issues for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been a decent left tackle. People are going to fucking kill me for that. But he's been like a league average left tackle for his whole 5 years on the Browns. He just has effort issues. So whatever you want to say about that, he's lazy, whatever. But he's been okay for the Browns. That's just where it is. People have this wrong perception of like what league average is when it comes. Like, of course, if a guy's getting beat every play, they probably shouldn't be starting, right?
Yeah.
But you got to look at like the whole fucking game and decide whether this person is decent or just average or not. The best they're going to get, like I said, is average. And that's what Cam Robinson is. He's not great. He's not terrible. He's league average. He's going to do enough. That's all that matters for them. And they needed it because they are a good team right now. So they just needed a guy that can hold up enough, right? Like, that's all it is. So I think it's a pretty good trade by them. And they didn't waste any time. They were like, fuck it. We're going. We're going to go get him.
Immediately. They saw what was the situation with Darrisaw, and they went and got a piece. I applaud them for it. This is what I was talking about with shout out our Ravens correspondent Deuce. This was what I was talking about with him because I was talking to him with the Deontay trade, and he said he didn't mind it, but he wanted defensive pieces. And I was like, brother, where are they at? They're like, the availability of what you think you need is not there. Because these people are already either under contract, tied with their team, or they're ass. There's no like guy you can get unless you're shelling out, you know, big like a third round, second round draft pick if you really wanted to get somebody. But these people are already like these players that you think you want are already tied to their teams. The Jaguars can do this because Cam Robinson was already benched. And they're just like, yo, you just want him? That's fine. He's already too much on our books anyway. So that's what you're going to get. And the same thing with the Wills thing. Like, a league average left tackle is already a diamond in the rough.
That's impossible to find.
If you want to get a top 10 tackle, brother, you got to draft him or you got to pay him.
Yeah.
And you got to hope the other team doesn't match.
People don't realize that at all. Like, the way you build up O-lines is not through free agency usually. It's you have to be good at drafting. You have to be good at finding those diamonds in the rough.
Or you got the M's for Trent Williams.
Yeah, or you want to pay a ridiculous amount of money to go get the best of the best for your
Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, but people just don't do it. Like, I don't know. I like what the Vikings did here. Like, it was a good move in my opinion. They're going to be better for it. If they made no decision to go out and get somebody, they would be in trouble.
Yeah.
So
even the extra second that Cam Robinson can give you passing wise is leaps and bounds.
Yeah, for sure.
And the last one we have, which happened last week, the episode dropped before it happened, but D-Hop got traded to the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs have been looking for a wide receiver for this whole season. Especially after Rashee Rice got injured. So we knew they were going to get somebody, and they got D-Hop. I think D-Hop will be good for the Chiefs. He woke up undefeated, was whatever the Titans were, and woke up undefeated.
Crazy.
His plays are getting bold, man. His plays are getting bold. That's wild. If I'm a Titans fan, you're getting stabbed when I see you. But the he's going to play better for the Chiefs because he actually will have something to play for. Will he be like D-Hop from the past? Probably not. But the Chiefs don't need that. They're undefeated, and Pat Mahomes is playing like two packs of ass. So Shout out D-Hop, man.
Yeah, I like the move. I mean, we've been asking the Chiefs to get a receiver for 2 years now because they've had injuries there or just haven't had anybody. I mean, he's going to be so good there. Like, once he gets the playbook down and the offense, yeah. I mean, he's going to be good. Like, it's going to be bad for the rest of the league.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be that, like, I think D-Hop will be really good in the playoffs in the sense of, like, we need this conversion. We need this touchdown. Throw it up to D-Hop, and he'll grab it.
He'll be like a Odell from the Rams when they won.
Yeah. So this is definitely an upgrade. And I think it's just like the Titans. D-Hop probably was just like, yo, trade me.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
no. I feel like, no. Trade you to someone in the conference? I don't think so, brother. You're going to the Panthers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they – I don't. Maybe it's because if they do that, people won't want to play for them. But, bro, like, I literally gave you money, and now you want to leave and go to the Chiefs? Not on my watch. Have fun in hell. Welcome to the Panthers, brother. Let's go ahead and get into some notable injuries. I'm just going to list them. We'll talk about them. Like we said, Christian Darrisaw is out for the season. It was his ankle, right?
No, it's knee. He's having knee surgery.
I knew it was knee surgery out for the season. Stephon Diggs, everything that we feared on the no contact play, it was true. ACL out for the season. And Jordan Love with a groin injury. Jordan Love just keeps getting hurt, man. He keeps getting these like nagging injuries.
Yeah.
And he keeps playing. Like, brother, just sit for a couple weeks, man.
They've shown, Green Bay has shown they can win games without him. So, like, just get healthy. Holy fuck.
And Stephon Diggs, I mean, this is, you know, prayers up to all of them. We never want to see injuries in this. If I could have everybody healthy, I would wish for it in a second, bro. Don't think just because someone gets injured that's a rival of mine that I'd be, you know, happy. Like if Lamar got injured or Winston got injured or Joe Burrow got injured, I wouldn't be happy. I want everybody to be healthy. So when my team plays your team, we're playing at the best. If my team beats your team, I beat y'all at the best that you guys were at. So Stephon Diggs, prayers up, but like this is going to happen when you have older players. Their body tears down and you might be asking for too much after the Nico thing. Stephon Diggs might feel like he has to step up, especially with the allegations on him that he might be washed. So you might, you know, but ACLs are just freak things, bro. All he did was tip one step for a cut and gone. So, and it the recovery is longer when you're older. So hopefully you'll be straight, but for someone with the route running and the cutting, like the ACL, that's nasty. Shout out Stephon Diggs. Nothing to say for Stephon Diggs, brother?
I mean, it sucks. Like, I mean, the biggest thing to me is Stroud keeps losing weapon after weapon. Like, what are they going to look like?
That's true.
I mean? I already think the Texans are kind of worse than what people had a big, like, to me.
You've been hate-watching, man. I caught you. You've been hate-watching these Texans, man.
I have been because of last year. They beat us, obviously, in the playoffs. I'm still obviously still salty about that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even just that.
Can you be salty, though? You knew this was coming.
I knew it was coming eventually. Like, Flacco's a ticking time bomb. But the thing is, everyone made them out to be bigger than what they actually were last year, if that makes sense. I don't know how to explain it, but like watching them play against good teams, you didn't see the Stroud that was throwing for 400 yards and three touchdowns. Like, and you especially saw it when they got humbled by the Ravens on the road the next game. Stroud looked like, I mean, he looked bad, like plain and simple. I don't even know if he reached 200 yards in that game. The only touchdown they had was a punt return, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, where is everyone getting off the offseason? They made a lot of good offseason moves. And I still wasn't that impressed. Have you heard of Danielle Hunter once this year?
No.
Where the fuck is Danielle Hunter? Huh? the biggest DN offseason acquisition. Has he even gotten a sack this year? Because I know Will Anderson has gotten sacks. He's on red zone every fucking week getting sacks. I'm just like, where are these guys?
Daniel Hunter hate watch?
I'm just saying, like, they made all these moves. Obviously, Mixon has played well, but he got hurt, so he missed three games. Now, another big acquisition just got hurt for them. Like, they're coming back down to earth really fast, and I don't think people realize how fast it actually is. And to have, like, what are they right now? Are they 5-2?
Yeah, 5-2.
They're 5-2, but who have they really beat? And all the games have been close, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what games have impressed you from the Texans this year? They're not like the...
They should have smoked out the Jaguars.
Yeah, and they didn't. Both Colts games were close. And you could argue that Anthony Richardson was the reason the Colts lost the second game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 23-20, and AR threw for 20% completion percentage. What is Stroud doing? Someone explain to me what he's doing.
I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's just like looking for the big plays, but like you said, bro, brother, I forgot Daniel Hunter existed.
Exactly. That's my point. All these big acquisitions that their GM made, we're supposed to be the best team. We're one of the Super Bowl favorites. They do not look anywhere close to that to me. Like, I will fade them in the playoffs all year, especially if Stroud has to go play outside somewhere. I'm fading that man.
So if he plays the Steelers.
Dude, you guys would, they would score 13 at most probably against you.
13's nasty.
Think about it though. Like, and this is where the NFL's going, so it won't matter soon. Well, not really soon. A lot of teams will still have outdoor fields, but some teams are transitioning to domes because
are we starting the dome merchant allegations?
We are starting the dome merchant allegations, but but the thing is, like, someone like Goff, who plays, he only plays one game outside a dome the entire year, right? The NFC is more known for domes.
Yeah,
the AFC has what, two? The Texans and the Colts,
which is weird. If I feel like it should be swapped, we have a lot of like cold teams.
Yeah, I agree. But it seems weird to me that, like, so he gets to play four games in a dome automatically, playing the Colts and at home against the Colts. And then you have half the league, or half the games you play are inside. So, like, I want someone to pull up the numbers on him in a dome, him outside of a dome, like outdoor weather. And then you need to pull the conditions of when it's cold outside and he plays outside and see what that looks like. Obviously, we only have 1 year sample size, so it's not like, be like, oh, he's Jared Goff, because Jared Goff has only ever played in a fucking dome, even at the Rams. Well, actually, they played outside that 1 year, didn't they?
Yeah, they played outside.
In the Coliseum when they were building the new one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I'm not liking what I'm seeing from the Texans. They're not this world beater team that everyone thinks they are. I will say, last year I also said D'Amico Ryans wasn't that great of a coach.
This Texans hate, man. You got to get it out of your heart. I feel you, though. Once they started doing the Stroud top three talks, I was like, let's fucking slow down.
I'm over it when someone, like, because I'm huge, and I've talked about this for years on this podcast, is fucking second-year slumps for QBs. Like, it's a real fucking thing. You come into the league fresh. No one has tape on you besides college tape. That doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. And you play well your rookie year, like Stroud did, right? And then at the end of the year, Stroud started playing worse because he started playing better teams. But this year, now you have a full year's tape on Stroud. And I think their offense is struggling. And everyone, it's always excuses after excuses that it's not Stroud. It's the O-line. It's they're running the ball more than they're passing it. It's like, I'm just sick of it, man. Like, I'm fucking over it. Why does Stroud get so much leeway? Maybe it's because I'm in Ohio and all the Ohio State fans dick ride him. And they're like, oh, it's the O-line. Oh, it's, they ran it 50 times this game. I'm like, why are we running it 50 times this game when we have CJ Stroud and it's a close game? Why are we doing that?
You better get these Ohio State fans hot, bro.
Dude, I just don't understand why he gets so much leeway. Why does Stroud get so much leeway? And yes, he is a good QB. He makes crazy plays. But, like, what is it right now that is making me hesitant to put them even in, like, AFC championship conversation? You know what I mean?
Oh, hell no. I think it's, like, they're once you like, look at Texans tape, which we've watched Texans games, their concepts are really simple. So I can see why defenses have, like, picked up on that and are able to neutralize the CJ, like CJ Stroud, which opens up the run game. So I see why they're running more, which is hindering, like, CJ Stroud's passing capacity. But, like, if you're asking why a team runs so much with a supposed top three quarterback, you need to start looking at that quarterback.
It's so weird because, like, consistency is huge for QBs, right? CJ Stroud went into this year with a way better team surrounding him than last year. He went into this year with the same OC that everyone says is going to be a head coach next year. The same head coach. I'm just like, where is the improvement? There hasn't been any improvement. They've scored over 25 points three times this year.
How many for 30?
No, they scored only 25 points twice this year. That's
any,
it.
Any 30?
They scored 29 against the Colts week one and 41 against the Patriots 2 weeks ago. That's it. Those are their two highest scoring games. Other than that, 19, 7, 24, 23, 24, 23. That's it. Where is this explosive offense that everyone has been telling me about?
High-powered offense.
Where is it? With CJ Stroud, I was sure, by the way people were talking about it, that this would be one of the best offenses in football. I just don't.
This hate watch, bro. This hate watch is nasty.
Like, to me, it's like, for my team at least, like, when I play a team, I'm scared of few things, right? Like, I'm scared of the QB that I'm playing, and I'm scared of usually the OC. Like, how good are they? Like, the Steelers, I'm scared of the defense every time we play them. I know they're going to keep it close. They're fucking good all the time. The Texans don't scare me, like, at all. What do they do that is so impressive on the offensive side of the ball that scares teams right now? I know their best win is against the Bills, but the Bills choked that fucking game away by throwing it four times on their goal line with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, that was a generational. I don't know what they were doing.
Other than that, they've lost to the Packers. They've lost to the Vikings. They got their brakes beat off them by the Vikings. They beat the Bears.
Brian Flores was probably licking his chops watching that film. Like, oh, I can easily defend this.
But where is all the creativity? Like, what's his name? Slowick, yeah. But, like, everyone says he's going to be the next great head coach, right? The next young OC to become a head coach. Where is he making a name for himself this year? Especially starting the year with fucking Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs, and then you put Mixon back there with him. And they scored seven.
Dalton Schultz isn't a bad tight end either.
Yeah, and Dalton Schultz, they have weapons, and their O-line was good from last year. It's not like they got worse this year. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm hate-watching. Maybe I'm seeing a different team than other people. I know they're 6-2 right now, but, like, they play the Lions in 2 weeks. Let me just say this. I don't believe in the Jets at all. No matter what you say, you'll never get me to believe it. But why does Vegas have the Texans as underdogs against the 2-6 Jets this week? Is that not telling? Is that not telling at all? Because if they fucking drop this Jets game, they're damn sure losing to the Lions next week.
Oh, they're going to get embarrassed by the Lions, bro.
I don't get it. I don't know where this rant even came from. Were we talking about Diggs? Oh, yeah. But, like,
talking about Diggs.
But why, like, when Vegas has you as an underdog on the road against the Jets, who are 2-6, just lost to the Patriots, what does that tell you about this team? They're telling you they don't have a lot of faith in Stroud without his weapons.
Yeah, it's weird with, like, I get it because, you know, both of his top two weapons went out. But at the same time, if you're going to have these CJ Stroud top three talks, I mean, they were saying, they were acting like he was top three and not three.
Yep.
You have to be able to elevate your team regardless of who the hell you're throwing it to. And it doesn't seem like that. It seems like it's a very weapons-based, which is nothing wrong with that, you know? But let's be real, you know? You can't be telling me this man is a Jared Goff archetype in actuality and then tell me he's top three. Because we know who Jared Goff is. Nobody has Jared Goff top three talks ever. And Jared Goff will comfortably throw for 4,000 passing yards.
Yeah.
Because we know who he is. Lions know who he is. Ben Johnson knows who he is. That's why they have all these weapons for him. That's why they're in the draft. That's why they got, even though it was kind of fucking crazy when it happened, but that's why they got Jahmyr Gibbs. That's another addition. That's why they got David Montgomery, Amon-Ra. That's why they drafted high on Sam Laporta. Because they know, like, Jared Goff will only elevate when he has these weapons. And elevate he has. But you have all these weapons. We thought the Texans offense was going to be fucking top three. And they've had – and it's week nine, brother. I can't say slow start, brother. We're almost halfway.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not getting it together now, it's only going to get worse with the injuries. I think the – my biggest thing with QB talk in this league is it's so inconsistent. Because if you look at – you can't just straight up look at stats and be like, this guy's better than that guy, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Trevor Lawrence right now, he's 100 yards away from matching Stroud, and he has the same touchdown to interception ratio. We're talking about those two QBs in completely different ways right now, yeah. Or at least the masses are. Trevor Lawrence, washed, fucking horrible number one pick. He's not generational. CJ Stroud, generational. Like, what? It's like, to me, the NFL is so funny because wins and losses are really the only thing people look at. Mm-hmm. So when one QB is winning but has the same stats as a QB that's losing, you're always going to say the guy winning is better, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the ultimate team sport. Like, and like I said, the Texans have won a few games where they probably shouldn't have. Like,
yeah,
the ball flips in different fucking ways for each team. I don't know, man. I have no faith in the Texans. Like, I know they're 6-2. They have one of the best records in football right now. But like, what I'm seeing on a week-to-week basis, I'm like, what gives the Texans fans confidence that they're going to beat any of the best teams in football when it matters the most?
If the Texans want to do something, they need to make sure they're not number four at the end of the season. Because if they're number four, brother, if you see the Ravens, if we take the division, you see the Ravens, wraps. If the Ravens take division, you see us, wraps. It's over.
Yeah,
and you're gonna be first round fucking exits, and you're going home, and you're gonna be like, "What happened? We had CJ Stroud. You should have been watching the tape like us, brother." It's just gonna be, you better not get outclassed by Arthur Smith. I swear to God, bro. But like you said with the Trevor Lawrence shit, bro, we're big Trevor Lawrence guys. Yes, he's had a dip in this season, but you got to think about the other outside factors. And this brother don't play defense.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I can score 7 at will, but if my defense allows 7 back, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah. You would think Trevor Lawrence had like 8 picks right now on the year, the way people talk about him. He only has 4. 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, same as Stroud. It just, one guy has a 6-2 record and one guy has a 2-6 record. It's like the perfect comparison. It's just like one team is probably worse than the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's weird. Like I would pick, like, we've seen generational QBs carry their team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen it. Stroud is young. I get it. He's a sophomore QB in this league. But like, when people were talking about him as top three after last year, which made no sense to me because one, he did not play like a top three QB last year. No. He just didn't. But people are talking about him like he's one of the best in the league. Which, yeah, I would say you could probably argue top 10. I would say so.
Yeah.
But there's no way he's close to 5. No. He's not.
Hell
no. At all. Like, we've seen Burrow without his two best receivers, and he still does well. We've seen Pat Mahomes without his best receivers. He still does well. You know what I mean? Josh Allen literally last year carried his shitty-ass team to to the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, we'll see how Stroud does without his receivers, but right now it's not giving me a lot of faith that they're going to be off with it.
I mean, we've seen, like you said, I think the best I've ever seen in my life in when it comes to being a rookie and hooping, regardless of your team, was Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck was the best I've ever seen. That shit was horrendous.
Yeah.
And that brother was putting his life on the line for fucking bums. And I just don't see that same thing. I mean, and don't get us wrong, bro. I like Stroud. He likes Stroud. We just have to – we can't jump – pause. We can't jump on the meat like this. This is crazy. This is crazy, bro. This brother is year two. You would have thought Stroud was a year seven vet. This is year two, bro. He still has time to grow or fucking drop off.
Yeah.
Anything can fucking happen. So, you just got to wait and see, man. But, yeah, we were talking about injuries and we got in the CJ Stroud debate.
I don't know.
Before we get into our tier list and our picks and best dog, I have a blindly ranking for Mr. Reed Russell.
Oh, God.
Six spots, right? You just got to rank. I'm going to give you one. These are rookie wide receivers.
Oh.
I'm going to start doing these blindly rankings for you. Because I need to stamp this when it's an hour. I'm going to make our first TikTok the blindly ranking. Blindly ranking six wide receivers. I'm going to give you one. You just put him where you think how – and this is just based on his play. Put him.
Oh, my God. I can't even.
All right. The first wide receiver, Keon Coleman.
I'm going to give him four.
Four. Okay. Okay.
He's been more impressive than I thought he would this year. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to put it together, I think.
Yeah. Roma Dunze.
Five. He just doesn't get the ball enough, I don't think. He hasn't done enough. I probably should have put him at six, but I'm going to go five.
Ladd McConkey.
Oh, my God.
I think he put me out a little bit too high.
Fucked up on that one. I'm gonna go. I should have put Odunze at fucking six and put. I want to put Ladd at five, but I'll go six because I think there's still some hooping though.
Ladd's been hooping on him.
He's starting to come on late, and he was hurt, wasn't he? He didn't play for a little bit.
Yeah, he was hurt.
See, I fucked up there because I would put Keon at four, Ladd at five, and then Odunze at six. I forgot about Ladd.
So Ladd is six?
Yeah, I guess. Fucking blind rankings.
Jalen McMillan.
Oh, fuck, man. Nah, I really fucked up the ranking. He's three. I have to put him at three because of the shit.
Malik Nabers.
Oh, he's...
Now, where are you gonna? Because my last one could be Marvin Harrison, could be Brian Thomas, could be Xavier. I don't know, you know.
I'm gonna go two. And if you say two? Brian Thomas, I'm putting him one.
Two. All right. So it's right now, you're number two. Malik.
See, I thought you threw in a wrench. I thought you were gonna say Marvin, Brian, and Malik. That's what I kept for the top three. And you threw in Jalen McMillan?
I can't give you the layups.
Are you kidding me right now?
So right now he has Malik Nabers, two. Jalen McMillan sitting pretty at three.
I got baited hard on this.
Keon Coleman, four. Romo Dunze, five. And the disrespect to your white brother, Ladd McConkey, at six. Ladd McConkey's been hooping.
I would flip Ladd and McMillan at this point.
And number one, Brian Thomas Jr.
I'll put him a one. I think he's been incredible this year.
Look at a nasty list. Nasty list.
The problem with Malik probably has had the best rookie season, I would say. But I feel like it's going to taper off because Daniel Jones is just so bad. You know what I mean? But Brian Thomas, he's going to get the football from Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll end up having a better year than Malik Nabers. Yeah, I got baited. McMillan should be six. If I had to redo that, it would be Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Odunze, and McMillan. That's what it should be, I feel like.
When you put Keon Coleman at four, I was like, we got him.
Keon's coming on strong. Like, he's figuring it out. I think he's going to be the number one by the time the season's over, even with Amari Cooper there. So,
yeah, I think really in what the tell has been from, you know, the last game, Amari Cooper might just be a higher decoy. If we can get Keon Coleman one-on-one, especially in the red zone, and you give it to a fucking daredevil like Josh Allen. Yeah. I mean, he snatched the ball from dude and pat him on the head for a good defensive try. Nasty. Nasty. And 100% he was being nice. Good play, little bro. But to the fans, bro, that was a head tap.
Yeah, that was brother. Bad.
That's not brother. If I'm defense, I'm slapping him in my mind because that brother would kill me. It's something about that strength that that brother is not smart. So it's all strength. He's a dog, though. But yeah, put some respect on Ladd McConkey.
Ladd McConkey's coming on late, too.
Arguably one of the best rookie wide receivers. He is perfect for Herbert.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I knew he was going to be good. I'm just a hater because he's from Georgia.
You got to get that hate out your heart, brother.
Like I said, I would move him three or four. Him and Keon Coleman are both coming on late. I think they're both doing well.
How do you feel about Marvin?
I think Marvin's been doing good, too, when he gets the football. I think he kind of checks out every once in a while. I don't know what that's about. Like that one game against the Chargers, like he wasn't getting the ball much. He just looked kind of lazy. I don't know what was going on.
I like these blind. I might have to, you know, next week, might throw another blindly ranking to fuck you up, man.
That shit. It's hard to think about every single player that could possibly be up for it.
Because there's a lot of rookies. I could have thrown fucking like Troy Franklin in there, bro.
It really, like, I wasn't mad about my list until you said McMillan. Like, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? He was one of the last people I was thinking of. If you would have said like Jalen Polk, I would have been like, all right. Get the fuck
I was close to being Troy Franklin, but I was like, let me be respectful.
I was about to say, has he even caught a fucking ball yet?
Maybe.
I saw him miss a deep ball.
Yeah, that shit was last week. Nasty. Let's go ahead and get into our dogs, our best bets. No, let's do our tier. Are we doing tier list first?
Yeah, we can do tier list first.
Tier list first. Don't look at the other shit that just popped up. Tier list first. All right, go ahead and talk about the changes that we made.
All right. So we officially moved the 49ers out of the Super Bowl tier one, and we moved the Lions up there because I think they're kind of undeniable. I think they scored like 48 points last week with only 7 passes completed, something crazy like that. They're just playing really good football, and you could argue they're probably the best team in the NFL right now, even with a loss. Chiefs stayed the same. Undeniable 7-0. Who the fuck's gonna beat them?
Yeah,
because they're starting to play like the Steelers, where even in a gritty game, it feels like the ball is gonna bounce their way. It's real nasty. Like, they make any team who has a good offense look like they have a shit offense. It makes no sense. Just like the Steelers. For tier two, we move the 49ers to tier two, obviously. And we move the Steelers into tier two.
Let's go with Russell.
I think I talked about it before he even started. I think he's fucking, he can push the ball downfield. I think their offense is a lot better with him in. It's more diverse. What else is there to say? They're fucking winners, bro. Their defense is probably the best in the league.
There's some hate in your heart when you said
that. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and you're paying him nothing, so you're getting this all for free.
Yes, sir.
Good move by the GM, no doubt. Tier three, we move the Eagles to tier three. And we move the Cowboys and Bengals out of tier three to league average. Our decision for the Eagles, I mean, they're on a hot streak right now. They look almost back to normal, I would say. a few close wins with teams they shouldn't be really close with, but albeit 4-0 in the last 4 weeks, respect. The Bengals' decision to move them to league average is basically based off of the fact that their defense is horrendous and their coaching is bad. Mm-hmm. We know they have Burrow. We know they have probably a top QB wide receiver duo, but it seems like it just isn't enough this year for them. So if you can kind of neutralize their offense a little bit and score points on them, they're not going to beat you. Any shootout they get in, they're going to lose. That's kind of where we're at with them. They can beat anybody, but they're also, I really don't think they're a playoff lock. I think we started the year with them as a playoff lock, and now they're just shitting the bed a little bit. The Cowboys, I think their team is just not as good as people originally have seen them. I think we got some recency bias to start the year. They've been good for like 7 straight years with Dak, and now I think they're just running out of steam. I don't know what it quite is. I guess their talent level isn't as good anymore. I don't know. What do you think about the Cowboys? It just seems weird that they just dropped off a cliff like this.
Yeah, the two things I'm going to say about the Bengals and Cowboys before the Bengals and Cowboys fans get their panties in a bunch. For the I'll start with the Cowboys first because it'll be shorter. The Cowboys, I think like their team doesn't seem as locked in as people thought they were going to be. You would think after just getting flat out embarrassed by the 49ers, you'd think you'd come back hungrier. But I think just – the lack of offseason moves by Jerry Jones really, and he was like, oh, my team good. I don't really need to be making moves. Brother, you got Rico Dowdle and Zeke Elliott and Dalvin Cook from McDonald's. And you thought we were going to have some sort of fucking run game? And it all went downhill. That's when you make offseason moves. You draft or you get free agency. How the Steelers, when Alex Highsmith went out, we got Nick Herbig and he did his thing. Once Michael Parsons goes out, DeMarcus Lawrence goes out, what do we have? There's no pass rush, so it makes the corners look bad. There's nothing you could do. And the Bengals, when are we going to get a win streak going? There's been the Bengals. We look at their schedule and like, oh, 3 games, this 3-game sample size, they should at least win 2 out of 3 or 3, and they just start losing games.
Mm-hmm.
You get embarrassed by the fucking Eagles. And shout out the Eagles. I think once the Eagles stopped having turnovers, that's when they really started winning. As long as Jalen Hurts doesn't throw turnovers, they start winning. So as long as Jalen Hurts protects and keeps the ball, the Eagles will keep on winning. But yeah, the Bengals, it's just, like I said with the Cowboys, your team doesn't seem locked in. Mm-hmm. Your defense is horrible. And you keep losing games that I think, oh, maybe you have a chance, and you just lose them. Yeah. And we kept the Saints in rebuild, right? Yeah, kept the Saints.
Yeah,
in rebuild.
So we moved the Seahawks and Bucks out of tier 3, or we might have had the Bucks in league average already, but the Seahawks we moved out of tier 3. They're kind of on a skid. We still think they're dangerous and they can compete with anybody, but I think Geno's too inconsistent and their defense just isn't what we thought it was going to be.
No.
So we moved into league average. The Jaguars, Jets, and Browns are all 2-6, but at the same time, we think they can still compete with teams. So we left them there for that very reason. The Giants are close to be moving to rebuild. We're going to give it like 2 more weeks because they're on a big skid right now. Daniel Jones is just not it. If they lose the next 2 weeks and they're 2-8, then we're putting them in rebuild. They need to get a QB. I think we could already put them there now, whether people want to agree with it or not. But, I mean, they're fucking bad. The Patriots, I think what Drake May can make a little bit of noise, but he's hurt this week. The only person in the rebuild I think we can move up eventually this season is probably the Patriots. We still think they're pretty much on a full rebuild because of the fact that they have their skill positions aren't great. They need more depth on the defensive side of the ball. So they'll probably stick in rebuild no matter if Drake May goes on a run or not. I don't think they're win now, right? Like at all. Whatever they think, it's wrong because I think they started talking about they're trying to move some pieces and get some better players to put around Drake May to win this year. So we'll see how that works out for them. We're going to keep them in rebuild. And we also moved the Raiders, Titans, and Saints back down to rebuild. they're just horrendous. There's nothing else to say about it. They don't have QBs. I mean, Derek Carr's back, so they could win a few games here and there, but they're just, they were overhyped after that 2-0 start. Their coach is horrible. So we put them down in rebuild. Panthers are just the Panthers. They're always going to be in rebuild.
Yeah.
I think those are pretty much the moves we made. We did think about putting the Rams in tier three. All their weapons are back. They just beat the 5-1 Vikings in a primetime game.
Mm-hmm.
Very dangerous. The Bears also, if the Bears would have beat Washington, we could have moved them to tier three, I think. But that loss was unacceptable.
At the Hail Mary was nasty.
I think we're going to keep them at the very top of league average. Still dangerous, but like, come on. That was bad. Yeah. That was just bad all around. Crazy game, though.
What do you do as a defensive coordinator and you see that tape? You see this brother just, Tyreek Stevenson, just yapping at the fans.
That's, I mean, you've got to discipline him somehow. There's even a video before the game starts. He bets with a fucking Commanders
fan. Bro.
So he was dicking around. And if you watch that game, like, that was the only game I really watched in the 4 o'clock window. All the other games were kind of ass. He was fucking chirping, hitting late the entire game with the Commanders. So I don't know what was going on. Did he used to play for that team? Like, what the fuck was happening
there? I don't know what the animosity was towards them.
Yeah, he completely lost it, though. Unacceptable from his part, really. So. Yeah.
Those are our tiers, y'all. This will be posted for the audio listeners. Look on our Twitter at DWC2022 and on our Instagram, Defense Wins Championships Podcast. And let's go ahead and get into our locks of the week. Went 1-3.
I'll take full responsibility.
had some faith for the Cowboys, and they showed us exactly who they are. We'll never be betting on the fucking Cowboys ever again. Learn from our fucking mistakes. Falcons hit. It was getting a little fucking dicey, but they had it.
Never a doubt.
They had it. It's getting close, but you know they pulled out for you, boy. So these are our locks of the week. YouTube people and our dog of the week. YouTube people, you can see this for the audios. We got the Jags and the Eagles over 45.5. I feel really confident on this. A lot of the Jags games have been high scoring.
They've hit the over in the last four games, no matter the opponent.
Games, so I think this will hit. And then the Commanders, I think they're -3.5.
Yes, -3.5. I wrote that
minus,
right.
-3.5. Commanders are -3.5.
If they were plus, this would be some crazy odds.
Nasty. And we think they're going to hit that as well. And our dog of the week is the Patriots. Now we had a little discussion on who we thought the dog of the week would be. I think the Texans layup just would have been too easy for us. We're gonna make it harder on ourselves. Give us the Patriots, especially at the +150 that you can get them at. Going against the Titans, I think that the Patriots. I don't think the Patriots are trying to win. They just end up winning. It's really weird.
I saw a report that they said they're gonna try to acquire pieces to put around May to win this year. I don't know how true that was.
Delusional.
Yeah. Just seems weird to me. They should have, if they thought May was the answer this year, they should have played him from the start.
Yeah. So. I think you're the May guy. You love May. Even I was surprised. I was like, damn, this brother is throwing that thing on a rope.
He's been good the two games he's played. So I told you.
What? Yeah, you did. You did. In the beginning, I was like,
best QB in the draft class. I mean, obviously, Jaden Daniels, you could easily argue, is the best one so far. But I thought Drake May coming out was the best, most NFL-ready QB.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels got a lot of mileage, though, so it makes sense he's playing so well.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Locks of the Week and Dog of the Week. Let's go 3-3. We hit 3-3 one time. Let's go ahead and hit 3-3 again. And let's go ahead and get into our picks. YouTube, you can see this. I'm back up one, was tied back up one. 76.
This is the Colts pick.
This is the Colts pick. You're hate watching too much, man.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm up 76-47 and Reed is 75-48. So for Thursday night's game, this is for the audio people. For Thursday night's game, we have the Texans at the Jets. We both picked the Texans. We have the Cowboys at the Falcons. We both picked the Falcons. We have The Dolphins at the Bills. Both picked the Bills. I know Dolphins fans. You know I love y'all. You know I love
the first time you picked the Bills against
them. I know. You know I love the Tribal Chief, but the Bills are just on a different kind of mode right now. At the Raiders at that sounded like insane glazing. At the Raiders at the Bengals, we both picked the Bengals. Let y'all lose this fucking game, bro. On God, you go into four. I don't give a fuck if you got a top three QB. You go into four. If y'all lose this fucking game. Chargers at the Browns. Whoa! He finally picked the Browns. Oh, my God. I picked the Chargers and re-picked the Browns.
It's been weeks.
Anti-Browns for weeks.
Listen, what did I say when Deshaun was having this issue? What was it? Week three where that new allegation came out or whatever? Mm-hmm. What did I say the Browns should do immediately? Is play fucking Jameis Winston. What does our offense look like with Jameis Winston against the Ravens? Not like they have a good back end or anything, but like automatically over 300 yards, three touchdowns through the air. And Nick Chubb's back. Our offensive line got healthier. Wyatt Teller came back. We made DeJuan Jones our left tackle, so Wills isn't playing anymore. We look like a completely different team. Our defense played about as good as you can against Lamar Jackson. I was like, This is exactly what I said would happen when Jameis plays. We are now a dangerous football team again. And I think the Chargers really like to run the ball. We're number one in rush efficiency on defense. Mm-hmm. They're coming from the West Coast to play a 1 o'clock game at Cleveland. It's going to be a little colder outside. I think this is a perfect storm for the Browns to win two in a row right here.
You guys got lucky. You guys almost experienced the Jameis Winston experience. Kyle Hamilton sold, dropped that ball. And what did y'all do? Y'all could have just ran and kicked the field goal, get out of here. Jameis Winston throws a fucking dime to Cedric Tillman. That shit was nasty. I was literally open mouth. I was like, oh my God. Kevin Stefanski getting in his bag a little bit.
He didn't call plays that game.
You know what I mean?
You know what the biggest difference I noticed in the game?
What?
We didn't waste any timeouts. We didn't have any illegal formation calls on us. We are a professional football team again.
That's what I meant. Not necessarily the play calls, but like he wasn't timid. You know when he gets that like timidness, he's like, all right, timeout.
Yeah.
He was just like, let it
go. No, break. I agree. He was locked the fuck in. He was actually coaching instead of worrying about the play every single fucking down. I was like, this is exactly what I've been wanting. Like, this is perfect.
Is Deshaun Watson a cancer?
Deshaun Watson, I mean, it's like almost impossible. Like, I don't even want to get into it anymore. Like, Deshaun's done. He's never going to play.
He's
never going to play for the NFL.
Done, signed off?
Yeah, he's like over. It's over, basically. It's over. The Browns.
That meme of Jamal Adams trying to get in that Jets facility.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Like, we're going to pay his contract. He's going to be away from the team. It is what it is. Bad decision on Barry and Haslam's part, but it is what it is at this point. But, yeah, we're back to being a fun, frisky-ass team, bro. No one's going to want to play us. Like, we have a good defense, and now we can throw the ball and stretch the field. Like, it's – Nick Chubb's back. Like, no one wants to play us. We're 2-6, and we're still a tough out. So, football's fun again. Football is fun again until James throws two
picks. I can't wait for this James Winston experience, bro.
I mean, he's really the same QB as Flacco. He's just younger. I mean,
at least you know, like, we could win. We can win throwing 303 touchdowns, or we might lose with two pick sixes.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for anything. The Jameis Winston experience, like, he could come out Sunday and look like the worst QB in football, and then the next week throw for 400.
Y'all, this is how bad Deshaun Watson was. This brother is willing for the gamble. This is like just playing.
No, hold on. I mean, I don't really want to get into it because I know we've talked about the Browns way too much on this podcast because of the Deshaun thing. Like, I get it, and people are probably sick of it. But realistically, if you look at the Browns' schedule.
Oh, here we go. Let's start getting delusional.
No, let's get delusional because we play the Chargers at home. We play the Chargers at home, okay? Whatever you want to say, that's a pick 'em. I think it's going to be a close game. And then we play the Saints at the Saints. That's probably close to a pick 'em. If we win this game, it's going to be like a two-point spread probably. And then we play the Steelers. That's probably a loss. We'll be at that game, actually. So if the Browns win the next two games and we're on a three-game win streak, that Steelers game is going to be pretty lit Thursday night football. And then we play the Broncos. You can't tell me we can't go 3-1 right here.
All right, here we go. Who's your one? The Steelers?
The Steelers probably lose, but it is at our place. If we were at the Steelers, it'd be harder. And every Steelers-Browns game since Miles hit Mason Rudolph on the head has been very, very close. So I do think there's a chance to win these games. And we're, what, 6-6 at the end of that four-game stretch? As crazy as it sounds. We are back. We are back.
Look what y'all are doing, bro.
And I'm not even gonna say, I'm not even gonna bring up the fact that half the AFC is 2-6. So we're still in the playoff hunt halfway through the season.
It's nasty. This conference is nasty. Yeah. The worst it's ever fucking been. There's a chance for a team to have a losing record in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely.
It could happen. For the Patriots at the Titans, we picked the Patriots. This is our underdog of the week. I think it's a little bit disrespectful that they're plus 150, but you know, whatever. If we want to make free money, we can make free money. I'm all here for it. And then we have the Commanders at the Giants. We both picked the Commanders. We also did the lock, which was -3.5. I think they easily hit that shit. I don't know what is up with the -3.5 in the -3 that the Eagles, and it's playing the Giants. I mean, I think they're going to smack that shit. And then we have... Oh, you said you updated it? Perfect. And then we have the Broncos. Is it at the Ravens? It's not on my shit.
It's at the Ravens.
Broncos at the Ravens. We both picked the Ravens. Then we have the Jaguars at the Eagles. We both picked the Eagles. The Bears at the Cardinals. I picked the Bears and re-picked the Cardinals.
Doing a Cardinals watch. Let me just say, the Cardinals are the hardest team to pick wins losses this year. Like, no matter what you pick, it's probably going to be the opposite.
So, I hope that's true, because I need the Cardinals to lose. So, I can get $30. The Lions at the Packers. I picked the Lions and re-picked the I thought you said you were going to pick the Lions.
Nah, we riding with the hate watch.
You were just talking about how good the Lions were hate watching. Yeah,
the Lions are really good. The Packers, for some reason, I just think LaFleur is a better coach than Campbell. Like, I think he'll figure it out. If I mean, Jordan Love is playing. Now, let me preface it.
He might not
play. My pick's going out Wednesday. If Jordan Love doesn't play, the Lions probably win this game fairly easily, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we stand on business. We never change picks. No. As soon as we put it in, as soon as it's on – the podcast, that's what it is.
We own up to our L's.
We own up. No, I don't. I make excuses. The Rams at the Seahawks. We both picked the Rams. We've been loving the Rams. Reed is the Rams correspondent. I know Seahawks fans. I am the Seahawks correspondent, but these Rams are looking fucking dangerous, man. And the Seahawks have just been disappointing. Geno's kind of taking a skid. I think he's been really frustrated with his play. As you can see from the last game, he's thrown his helmet. He needed to get calmed down by other players. Like, it's been bad. And then we have the Colts at the Vikings. Joe Flacco playing. We both took the Vikings, I think, fairly easily. I really think the Vikings blow the fuck out of the Colts. I genuinely, bro. Brian Flores has been kind of on a fucking heater, unless your name is, like, Matthew Stafford. But, like, this is – I think they could really do some damage to Joe Flacco. And then we have the Buccaneers at the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, we picked the Chiefs. The Chiefs are -8.5 favorites.
Crazy.
Watch out for that line. Watch out for that line.
Crazy number. Like, I might actually take the Bucs on that +8.5.
I'm not mad at it. They throw the hell out of the ball. They need to start giving the ball more to your boy, Bucky. I think it's time to swap positions with Rashad White.
Don't get me started on Brian Flores.
That are you mean Todd Bowles?
Or Todd Bowles. Yeah, not Brian Flores. Todd Bowles is a bum ass head coach, man.
Are you starting Bucky?
Can we just go back to the days where committee running backs just aren't a thing? Change of pace. What does Rashad White do better than Bucky Irving? Someone explain it to me. Because am I seeing the same thing on a week-to-week basis?
It's like Bucky does everything better and he's smaller. I know. That's so weird. He runs back. I mean, he's up, what, for the I sent that stat, 44% missed tackle on the first tackle. That's almost half. Almost, if two people were tackling Bucky, if one person was trying to tackle Bucky, there is almost a half, 50%. There's almost a 50% chance that brother misses. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Shout out Bucky Irving.
So good.
But those are our picks. Let's go ahead and get it back to the locks. Those are our locks, so you guys can look at that last time. It's the Jags versus the Eagles over 44.5, Commanders -3.5, and the Patriots as the dog of the week. Thanks, guys, again, for watching and listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, all that jazz. Rate us 5 stars on the audio stuff. We are out on Apple and Spotify podcasts under Defense Wins Championships, and we are on YouTube under Defense Wins Championships podcast. This will be posted on our Twitter at DWC2022 and on our Instagram at Defense Wins Championships podcast. Look out for the TikTok later. I'm gonna edit and post that clip on the Blindly Rankings, and we're going to start posting some clips for the TikTok so we can get a little bit more traction. Look for the numbers. Numbers are great. I love everybody that is supporting, all the homies and all the fans, wherever you guys are. We really appreciate y'all. And we're almost halfway into the season, and we cannot wait for the other half. Everybody's either really good or really ass, so it's going to look really good for the playoffs. We cannot wait. Thanks again, guys, for listening. Thanks again, everybody watching. And we are out of here. Peace.